All right, we're in the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 is kind of a subset, a kind of a rabbit trail, as it were, talking about a certain group of people. All right, a certain group of people. Anyone under the age of 20, what group of people are we talking about? Oh, you can't get two. Oh. Hey, the Nelson clan here is ripping. All right, we're talking about Israel. I won't give candies for this, but there's three subs, three chapters, 9, 10, 11, and they kind of break up almost in chapters. Selection, Israel's selection, which is their past. Israel's rejection, which is their current. And Israel's salvation, which is their future. And today we're going to be looking at Israel's future, the salvation. All right. But last time we were here, I got three candies left. Last time we were here, who was it was speaking? Some little insignificant individual. I'm sorry, Josh was speaking. All right. And he brought us, and no one in the Nelsons can get a candy for this. Nor can my wife. All right. But he had three proofs that God has not done with Israel. Three proofs. Proof number one, Paul himself. Thank you very kindly. Proof number two, the remnant. And proof number three. No, you can't. Proof number three is the Gentile nation. Thank you. The Gentile nation. All right. I did that for Josh, you know. It shows that people are listening. All right. Israel's selection, the past, chapter 9. Israel's rejection, the present. And Israel's salvation, the future. Turn in the book of Romans, if you will. Okay, how this comes about. That's what we're going to be looking at today. How this comes about. The end of chapter 8, we have a great climax. The end of chapter 8, we have, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? That's sword, by the way. There's a W there. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. By the way, there's a great tune that goes with that. But this was the end of chapter 8. And then the question comes up, but what about Israel? God made promises to the nation of Israel. God made promises. Does God go back on his word? God has rejected the nation of Israel. Is God going back on his word? How can we take God's promise to us if God goes back on his word to Israel? That's the question that's before us. So that's why we're looking at these three things. We see in chapter 9 all about God's choice. And to get out of this, the biggest thing to get out of this, the word grace. The word grace. If you catch anything on 9, 10, and 11, it's about God's grace. God's choice. God chooses. For by faith you have been saved, right? No. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So don't forget, it's all about God's grace. God's grace chose Israel. Israel's nothing of themselves. There's nothing in them. Israel was not chosen because they're a great nation. Israel was not chosen because they're wonderful people. Israel was chosen because they were one of the lowest, the least of all the nations. God wanted to show salvation by grace. Through faith. Okay. But Israel's rejection is because of their unbelief. And by the way, Israel's rejection is not God's rejection of Israel. It's Israel's rejection of their Christ. We'll get that today in our lesson today. So let's read. As I typically do, I want to read through the text. I want to read through the text, and then we'll go back and kind of focus in. So read with me. I have the New American Standard up there. If you don't like it, too bad. No, I have the New American Standard. If you have King James, that's all right. That's a good text as well, but you might have a little difficulty following. I do this in case you didn't bring a Bible or you're not familiar or not comfortable. I want you to see the text up there because it's very important to see the text. You know, it's not about me speaking to you. It's about God speaking to you through his word. All right, but I step back a little bit to beginning in verse 13. But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of Gentiles. I magnify my ministry if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches are broken off, and you, being a wild olive, are grafted in among them and become partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were taken off or broken off so that I might be grafted in. Well, quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of their fathers. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. For just as you were once disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience, so that he may show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and unfathomable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. All right, so last time, what Josh was sharing with us is God always proves himself faithful. God always proves himself faithful. When men are unfaithful, God still proves himself faithful. That's the basis of God's fulfilling the promise. No, he does not go back on his promises. He continues to do his promises. So he continues with his promise. Now, this section in Romans, I should step out and understand. This section in Romans is very difficult, and a lot of people have misunderstood this thing. You have to take the book of Romans and all of Scripture in context with all of Scripture. It has to be consistent. If some people look at the olive tree, because that's what the key is here, what's the olive tree? What's the branches? What's going on? What's the root? Some people think that the olive tree are those who are saved. And so that's why they end up, well, branches are broken off. They lose their salvation. Well, you can be grafted in. You gain salvation. Ah, but you can be broken off if you fail. That's salvation by works, people. That's salvation by works. The olive tree does not represent those who are saved. The olive tree represents those whom God is blessing. Do you catch that? Think about Jesus' parable of the wheat and the tares and the kingdom of God. Now, I will share with you, I differ in opinion and understanding from Bill McDonald, and I don't say that lightly. Bill McDonald looks at the kingdom of God, and he sees that as the churchdom. Church, in other words, there are people in the kingdom of God who aren't truly saved, and there are people who are in the kingdom of God who are. That's how Bill McDonald sees it. I see it differently. I see the kingdom of God within that as those who are saved. And the reason why I do that, and I unfortunately, you can't argue with a commentary, right? so I can't argue with Bill, but I knew Bill enough to know that he would understand how I see things. Because Jesus says, strive to enter by the narrow way. And that enter, when he's talking about the kingdom. So strive to, well, what good is it entering a kingdom where it doesn't mean you're saved? So I look at the kingdom as those who are saved, but it's hidden by the tares, the weeds. And if you look at churchdom today, I remember I looked at churchdom and I said, I want nothing to do with it, nothing but hypocrisy. I looked at churchdom and I saw hypocrisy until I met someone who really believed, and I was shocked. Oh my goodness. And that's when I saw, maybe within churchdom, there's true church. You get it? And that's how I see the kingdom of God. Okay. But, you know, what's coming out here is this isn't about who's saved and who's not. It's about who is God's eyes upon. God chose a nation of Israel, and he chose to bless them for a purpose. He's trying to give the world an understanding, because God has always been about saving all mankind, not just Jews. Jesus, speaking to a Jew, said, for God so loved the Jews that he gave his only begotten. No, for God so loved the world. Nicodemus, are you hearing me? That any who believe in him, any Nicodemus who believe in him, God has always been about saving souls. No matter what your color, your skin, your height, your education, whatever, God wants to save you from eternal damnation. That's his purpose. So he chooses these people to be a physical representation of a spiritual thing. God is doing that all the time. A physical representation. And he promises them physical things. God wants to bless you spiritually and promise you spiritual things. The things that we speak of are physical, Jesus told Nicodemus. I'm speaking spiritual things now, Nicodemus. Born again, that kind of thing. So understanding the olive tree here, and as we read through it and as we study into it, be careful not to fall to the idea that, they're lost, they're unsaved. No. Two things I want you to understand. No one is saved because of their physical birth, because they're a Jew. None are saved from eternal damnation because they're a Jew. Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, are you listening to me? He's a Jew. Paul, when he speaks to, when he had to correct Peter, said, we're Jews and not sinners from the nations, but even we have come to understand our need for a Savior. The Jew needs a Savior just as much as anyone else. That was difficult for the Jews to understand because of God choosing to use them as a picture. But I am speaking to you as Gentiles. Okay, the word Gentile just means nation, so you can put nations in there just as well. I am speaking to you who are Gentiles. Inasmuch that I am apostle to the Gentiles, however, I magnify my ministry if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen. That's the Israelites, my fellow countrymen. So Paul is speaking to the nations. He's speaking to Gentiles, but maybe there are some Jews who are going to listen. Maybe there are some Jews, and they'll be moved with jealousy. Why is God blessing these Gentiles? Well, because they believe. You want to be blessed? Believe. All right, so picking up at verse 15 now. For if their rejection is reconciliation of the world, that's the Gentiles, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? All right, again, their rejection is not talking about God rejecting them. We learned that in chapter 11, verse 1. Has God rejected? No, may it never be. A vehement no. God has not rejected the nation of Israel. And we had the three proofs of that. This is the rejection of the nation of Israel of their Christ. No, we will not have this man reign over us. No, we want Barabbas, not this man. No, we have no king but Caesar. The nation of Israel rejected their Christ. And God knew that from the beginning. God was going to use that to open a door to the Gentile nation. Salvation has always been available to the Gentiles, but it's always been by grace, through faith. But God was going to open a door, and a floodgate started. And Jesus would speak about it, how people were clawing their way into the kingdom, talking about a rush. Okay. But if their rejection is reconciliation of the world, of the Gentile nation, what will it happen when the nation of Israel recognizes their king and receives him? The life from the dead. This is who our God is, life from the dead. This is exactly who our God is, life from the dead. The earth was formless and void. And then God started moving, life from the dead. Abraham was as good as dead. He's 99 years old. He's as good as dead. From his loins would come a nation. Sarah's womb was dead. But from her womb would come forth a nation. She would be a mother of nations. Ephesians 2, verses 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, even when we were dead, notice the we, the change there, from the you to the we. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God has made us alive together with Christ. God is about life from the dead. And that's what God is about to do with the nation of Israel. When they receive, it'll be like life from the dead. It'll be like Lazarus coming forth from the tomb. But if the first piece of dough is holy, don't make the mistake I always make with that word holy. Holy does not mean sinless. Yes, if something's sinless, they're holy, definitely. But what holy means is set apart. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, in the city of Ai, and when you're going to take Ai, when you take Ai, everything in Ai is under the ban. Under the ban. That word under the ban, when they translate that into the Septuagint, is the word holy. It is set apart for God. This is set apart for God. We have a set of plates at our house, white false craft. There are everyday plates. There are everyday. But we have a set of china. Very ornate, very beautiful. They only comes out on Easter, comes out on Thanksgiving, comes out on Christmas, right? You do not make cereal in one of these. You do not serve eggs in these, right? Okay. They're holy. They're holy. They're set apart. You do not. Why do you not? If the first piece of dough is holy, back when we were first married, Karen started making bread. We gained a lot of weight back then. But she made bread. She made some sourdough that would knock you out. I mean, it was sourdough, like, incredible. And what she did was she took some of that dough and put it in the refrigerator. I may be misremembering, so ask Karen. But she put some of that dough in the refrigerator because the next time she makes dough, makes bread, she's going to take some of that dough, and she's going to, because it's got the yeast and all in it, and she's going to make bread from that. And that dough sat in that refrigerator, and she kept taking a little piece of it and making more, making more. The idea here of the dough, of the piece, of the first piece, that, by the way, that first piece is the word we translate first fruits. That first piece, that first fruits, what's the first fruit? It is the first, the very best, and it is the promise of more. That's the key thing about first fruit. It is the promise of more. This is only the first. And that's what this dough is doing. If the first dough is holy, the lump is holy. That is, that which comes from it, therefore. If this is set apart for God, then what comes from it is set apart from God. If the root of a tree is holy, if that's set apart, then what comes of that root, the branches also are holy. That's what's going on here. That which comes from holy is holy. But some of the branches were broken off. Here, the meaning here for broken off is shut out, is excluded. Some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive, you being a Gentile, you being a wild olive, were grafted in among them to be partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree. My father-in-law used to love to do grafting, and he would take a branch from, say, a green apple, the Granny Smith or something, and he'd graft it into a red apple tree, and so you'd have this red apples everywhere, and then this one branch with green apples on it. Beautiful. But what happens, he says, you slice, and you slice, and you put these things together, and the nectar, the sap from the tree rising from the root will come to that and will pass over, and pretty soon that branch is indistinguishable from these, except for it's got green fruit instead of red fruit. Grafted on. The wild olive tree, I looked that up. A wild olive tree, the olives are small, and they don't have a lot of meat, and they don't have a lot of oil, and they're spiny, and just, you know, not the kind of olives you want to eat. But this cultured tree is beautiful. It's a gorgeous tree. That's what it means by a cultured tree. It's a beautiful tree. So if some branches were broken off, and you, as a wild olive tree, a wild olive branch, are grafted in to become a partaker of the rich root, that means, doesn't mean salvation, it means God's blessing you. God is blessing you. I put it down in here. Okay. Everyone who is saved should be on the tree, by the way. Everyone who is saved should be, but not every branch on the tree is saved. You get that? Everyone who is a true believer in Christ is a part of the church, which is part of the churchdom. But not everyone in churchdom is part of the church. You see? See that? I'm an engineer. You can see I talk that way. Not one and one and matching, by the way. That's for my brother Will back there, the mathematician. All right. But here we have the first of our things we're supposed to do or not do. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. Do not be arrogant. That's puffed up. Do not boast against the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root. The root, what is the root? The root are the original believers, the original ones chosen. That's Abraham. That's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These were the original roots of God blessing them when God chose Abraham to bless him. Okay. Again, doesn't necessarily mean salvation. Remember, Judas Iscariot was a Jew. Is Judas Iscariot going to be in heaven in glory? No, he rejected. The Jew who rejects is going to be broken off, we see here, is going to be broken off. You will say branches were broken off. You will boastfully say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. There I am boasting. These guys were shoved out. Get out of here. I'm in here now. Quite right, they were broken off, not because of you, but because of their unbelief. And you stand because of your faith. Do not be conceited. So, do not be arrogant, do not be conceited. But fear. What's this fear? Understanding fear. Understand. Again, this isn't talking about, we're not talking about salvation. There's nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, there's nothing can separate you from that. But do you want to go outside of his favor? You ever gone walking in the darkness? I'm not talking about physical darkness. I'm talking about living in sin as a believer. I've been there. I've been there, walking in darkness. And Jesus is calling and saying, Skip, come back out here in the light. No, 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 Lord. I'd rather, no. It was several months, long before I met Karen, by the way. But it was several months for me. So I wasn't being blessed. God knew I was out there. God cares about you. And I've shared this with another person. I know what the shepherd has that crook for. I'm one of those. He took that crook, wrapped it around my neck, and said, okay, that's enough. Get back here. I was working in New Jersey. And in 1 week, get out of here. Get back to California. Lost my job there in New Jersey. Dragged back to California. Shame, misery. So, again, if you're a believer, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. However, you can walk in darkness, and it is miserable out there. God wants you to walk in his light. And the best way is Jesus saying, Skip, I want you. Come here. Walk with me. And I feel dirty. I feel absolutely dirty. But that's the best place. You know, when you're in sin, praying and being close to Jesus is the last thing you want to do. And it's the most important thing for you to do. Draw near to him. Pretty soon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You will say branches are broken off that I might be grabbed. Quite right. Do not be conceited, but fear. That's the fear. Lord, I don't want to be out in the darkness. Lord, I know how easy it is for me. Start stepping away. Lord, keep me close. I love breaking a bread every Sunday. Because every Sunday I've got to come back and deal with sin. I've got to come back and say, Lord, the most important thing to me is that you love me and save my soul. Do not be conceited, but fear. It's not fearing your loss of salvation. It's fearing not walking with him, being broken off. Because that's what we're going to talk about. If God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. He's talking about blessing. God promised to bless the nation of Israel, but they refused. They rejected. Are you rejecting Christ? Are you refusing Christ? As a believer, I'm talking to believers. Are you refusing Christ? No, I don't want. No, I don't want. No, I will not. I will not. You should be fearing. Not your loss of salvation. Loss of joy. Loss of blessing. Behold the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, by the way, there's stumble. We saw the stumble before, and there's fell. This fell is like falling in battle. You don't get up again. Dead. To those who fell. You know, I stumble. I can't say you stumble by experience. I don't know. But I can say you probably stumble because of the Word of God. Okay. Stumbling is you're walking along and what was that? You know, stumbling. Maybe you hit the ground right in the face, you know. Okay. You get back up. You start walking. This is fall. And you're out of it. To those who fall, severity. But to you, God's kindness. Judas fell. You get it? Think of all the blessing Judas had. Judas Iscariot was one of those who went out and healing and casting out demons. He understood the blessing. But in the end, he just chose not to. If that's you to hear today, maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior, this book is all about salvation, the gospel of salvation. If you have never received Christ, you don't have the promises. What are you here for? Why are you here? Are you here because maybe you'll find a guy? A lot of people go to church, find somebody, right? Maybe you find a good, nice-looking girl. Are you here for the dinner on the grounds? Hey, we have a great dinner on the grounds. Are you here because you like the fellowship, you like the fun? There's nothing wrong with these things. But someday you'll find it somewhere else. Someday you'll find it at a bar. Someday you'll find that girl of your dreams, and you walk away. Remember the group that came to Jesus, John chapter 6, came to Jesus wanting more food. They wanted to get fed again. Jesus gave them some pretty tough words. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Now, I sit there and I go, if I'm a Jew, you're talking cannibalism. This is weird stuff, you know. Yeah, he said those things on purpose. And they walked away. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, do you want to walk away also? This is why Jesus did this. Because Peter responds and says, who are we going to go to? You have the words of life. Who are we going to go to? Behold the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Okay, this is not salvation. This is about blessing. Don't get those things mixed up. Here it's about blessing. You continue in his kindness. It's all about faith. You follow him. You believe in him. He says, that's not for you, Skip. Yes, Lord, I believe you. I go this way. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will be cut off of blessings. And they also, if they continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. You see how this can be mistaken if you understand this as salvation? On again, off again, on again, off again, on again, off again. You know, no, it's about God's blessing here. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive and were grafted on the contrary to nature, into a cultivated tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted in to their own olive tree? I missed that in the last part. For God is able to graft them back in. God cuts them off from the cultivated tree, but God is able. If they do not continue in their unbelief, God is able to graft them back in. And you were cut off by, here it's that, you know, you took to this cultured tree. You were an uncultured, wild olive. You took to this tree. How much more one who is cultivated branch going to take back into, come back into the cultivated tree? For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. What's a mystery? What's a mystery? A mystery is something not revealed before. Paul is revealing something here. So that you not, here's the third thing we to be. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Paul doesn't want you to be wise in your own estimation. Don't want you to be uninformed that a partial hardening has happened to the nation of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. To the fullness. God is doing this to make Israel jealous. God is blessing Gentiles to make Israel jealous. The fullness of the Gentiles will come in, and then God will refocus back on the nation of Israel. But their partial hardening. Tim went through, we're going through the book of 1 Samuel. And we talked about hardening, how what you see in Scripture is people harden their heart to God. People harden their heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart to God. Pharaoh hardened his heart to God. And then eventually you see God hardens his heart. The first thing to take from that is God doesn't just pick, oh, I'm going to make Lauren harden her heart. Lauren sets his heart against and hardens his heart and hardens his heart. And then God. But how does God do that? Here's where I'm going to share what I think. So I'm going to step aside. And by the way, I didn't mean Lauren personally. I can pick on him because he picks on me all the time. Anyway, but what I mean, what I understand about God hardening a heart is God spoke to Pharaoh. This is what I want. Pharaoh said no. He hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened. And God spoke to him. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And God spoke to him. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And by God continually presenting to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh continuing to harden his heart, that's how God hardened his heart. I share that because where's your heart with respect to the gospel? Have you hardened your heart? Have you ever gone up to people and said, yeah, I'm from Wilmington Bible Chapel, I want to tell you, I want nothing, you know, no, not me, no. I just take a couple minutes, no, I want nothing, no, thanks. Hardened heart, hardened heart, hardened heart. And you keep sharing with them, and they keep hardening your heart. No, I don't want to hear it. No, I told you, I don't want to hear it anymore. They keep hardening their heart and hardening their heart. And you presenting to them, their heart just gets harder and harder and harder. In that sense, you're hardening their heart. In that sense, God is constantly calling to you. I pray for people who aren't saved. I don't pray that God will save them. I pray that God will present yet again to them. But the danger of that is, well, God presents again, and they harden again. Where's your heart? Have you hardened your heart to God so much? Like Pharaoh, you just will not open your heart to God. God has hardened the hearts of Israel. They will not hear. They will not hear. God has allowed that to happen. God knows their heart is hard. But God is going to fulfill what he says here, the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles is that this day and time when Gentiles are rushing into the kingdom of God. They only come in through the cross. They only come in through Jesus. You've heard it several times that there are many ways to God. No, there's only one way to God. But there are many ways to Jesus. Get it? There are many ways to Jesus, but there's only one way to God. That's through Jesus. And the Gentile nation has to come and receive Christ, just like we. And the Jew today, the Israelite, born of the nation of Israel today, who receives Jesus, who opens his heart to Jesus, is welcomed into the kingdom of God. And there is no Jew and Gentile in the church of God. There is no Jew or Gentile in the church of God. That means there's no division based on your race, color of your skin, color of your hair, color of your eyes, whatever. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, a partial hardening. And then, and so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove all ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. After the fullness of the nations, after the fullness of the Gentiles, we have the rapture of the church. Then we have a tribulation period. The tribulation period is focused again on the nation of Israel. And they come into great tribulation. And a vast majority of Israel suffers, and a vast majority take the mark of the beast. But at the end of the tribulation period, Christ comes to the earth. The Redeemer comes. The Deliverer will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is the Deliverer, Jesus Christ, who comes. When the nation of Israel sees them, remember, at this time, there are no Christians there. They're Jews, and there's the remnant. By the way, that word remnant is an interesting word. Okay, the word remnant, what do you think of when you think of remnant when you're talking about carpet? Right? It's that part of the carpet you don't want. It's the discard. Okay, it doesn't fit. It doesn't meet. This is bad end of it. We don't want that end of it. Okay? That's what the remnant means. That the world says, you're discard. God says, you're mine. Okay? So the deliverer will come. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. When Jesus Christ comes, the remnant there who are true to God, they have not taken the mark of the beast. They continue to worship Jehovah. They still think, maybe they've turned and think Jesus was, but I don't think so, because it says when they see him, they'll be cut to the quick. They'll beat their breast. Oh my God. It was Jesus all along. It was Jesus all along. And that's when what happened with Joseph, remember Joseph? And the brothers realized, this is Joseph, whom we slaughtered, whom we sold into slavery. He's going to take it out on us. He's going to have vengeance on us. We're dead. And Jesus and Joseph said to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he will embrace his brethren. He will embrace them. And they will rejoice in their Savior. That's the deliverer who will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with him. Salvation is still not by race. It's by faith. But that's when they will see and understand. Cut to the quick. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. They are in, it's not their enemies of God. They have chosen to be enemies to the gospel. Paul himself was an enemy of the gospel. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of their fathers. God made a promise to Abraham. So God has always had his eyes on Israel. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God's promise to the nation of Israel was, you will reign over the earth. That's a physical promise, by the way. You will have a king on the throne. And God will fulfill that promise. God chose to bless them because of the faith of their fathers. Not salvation, but blessing. And God will fulfill his blessing. For just as you were once disobedient to God, just as you were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so also these, the Jews, now disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they may also be shown mercy. That, in other words, they will turn, that they would turn their heart and God would show them mercy. For God has shut up all, Jew and Gentile, all in disobedience. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so that he may show mercy to all. That's not all men. He's not going to be saving everybody. It means all nations. All nations, Jew and Gentile. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back? No one. No one. And so Paul lands on this doxology. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. From him and through him and to him. If you get anything from all of this, it's all about his grace. It's all about, he graciously has given, and it's through him, and it all returns to him. God always proves himself gracious. He always proves himself faithful. He always proves himself gracious. So So our actions, our attitudes, do not be arrogant. Do not be conceited, but fear. And do not be wise in your own estimation. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, we do thank you again so much for the gospel of our salvation. Thank you so much. Your desire to save the lost, to save us, Gentiles, to save the nation of Israel, to save mankind. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who was willing to pay the price none of us could pay. Lord, if there be any here who doesn't understand, has not received, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to them again, to call to them again, Lord. And I pray if there be any here, perhaps beginning to walk in darkness, knowing the light, but walking in darkness, Lord, I pray that you turn their hearts to return close to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we not fall into lack of fellowship with you. Thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name.